Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, August 7th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 56, reading the fourth paragraph beginning with, "This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed," ending with conscious companionship with his creator. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Lori T. reading the 12 steps, Janie G. reading the 12 traditions, Lisa N. will be reading the text, Mary Frances W. is reading page 164, and Shelley E. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, August 6, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,703 or 23703. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,705 or 23705. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. We could please press star one to mute. Someone is can hear someone talking. Thank you. So there are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Lori T. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will over and the care of our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And lastly, 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles of our and all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lori T. And I will now ask Janie G. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey there, Janie.
Good morning, Stephanie. Janie G. in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan today. And here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever not professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Well, thank you so much, Janie G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, and we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass. Then we know you're done. And press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 56. Reading the fourth paragraph down, beginning with, this man recounts that he tumbled out of bed, ending with, conscious companionship with his creator. And we are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. We will now ask Lisa N. to begin reading. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Stephanie, and good morning, everyone. Thank you. This is Lisa N., compulsive overeater, recovered today by God's grace and mercy. This man recounts that he tumbled out of bed to his knees. In a few seconds, he was overwhelmed by a conviction of the presence of God. It poured over and through him with the certainty and majesty of a great tide at flood. The barriers he had built through the years were swept away. He stood in the presence of infinite power and love. He had stepped from bridge to shore. For the first time, he lived in conscious companionship with his creator. I don't know about you guys, but I think that's pure poetry. That is beautifully written. And when I read it to myself, some of the words that stood out for me were conviction. So I looked that word up because, and I kind of know what it means, but there's a couple different descriptions of that word. And the one I think applies here is a firmly held belief or opinion. So this man, all of a sudden, he was convicted that the presence of God was with him. And he had never felt that way, it said before. He had never, for the first time, He lives in that conscious companionship, knowing that he had a creator and the creator was with him. And, you know, I don't know, you don't have to have my creator. Everybody gets to have their own creator, their own idea of what their creator is. But I love the description here, infinite power and love, because that is what I've always searched for. I thought infinite power was food. I thought infinite love was food. In our house growing up, we joked, ha, 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 food is love, love is food. No, that is not true. And now I know. And when I step away from the presence of God, which I do several times through the day, and I realize I come back and I say, oh, thank you for making me aware of your presence. And I breathe. There's all of a sudden, there's this opportunity, and it's like, oh, it's like a breath that I needed to take and I wasn't aware of. And so I love this paragraph, and I'm so grateful to have read it. And we can all step from bridge to shore knowing that we have a higher power that cares about us, loves us, and is all power. We can just turn our life over to that power today with food, with whatever we have haunting us or tempting us. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. Thank you so much for starting this out. Well, we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes. That will allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I will remind you when your time is up. So we'll get a list of names. If you can please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Liz S. from Oregon.
Is that S as in serenity, Liz?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay, perfect. Got you.
Thank you.
I heard someone in California. Who was that?
Sid R.
Sid R. Got you, Sid. And then I heard Jamie G. in Michigan.
Veronica B.
Maria C.
And Veronica, where are you calling from?
California.
And there was someone right after Veronica.
Maria C., also in California.
Hi, yeah, Maria.
Thank you.
Did we have anyone else who wanted to get in on this first lineup?
Rachel B., also in California.
Rachel B. in California. Okay. All right, let me go through, make sure I didn't miss anyone. I've got Liz S., Sid R., Janie G., Veronica B., Maria C., and Rachel B. And we're going to start with Liz S., followed by Sid R., and I just want to remind everyone, please make sure to say pass when you're done. I won't know that you're finished if you don't, so that would be super, super helpful. So we'll go ahead and start with Liz, followed by Sid. Good morning, Liz.
Thank you. And thank you, Stephanie, for your service, and Katie for recording, if she is today. I believe so. Anyway, Liz S., recovered compulsive eater from Oregon. I have read this paragraph and thought, oh, please, come on. Humbled out of bed, really. And then this January, I got this sponsor named Lori C. in He was taking me through the big book quickly according to a workbook that a bunch of people wrote. And I was on step 10. And I was sitting in my living room in my old house. And I was exasperated. I just was like, you know, I've struggled for so long with the concept of God, as have many people. And I continue to change and refine and focus on different parts of God now. But in January, I was having a hard time accepting the concept of God. I was brought up in a very strict household. No drinking, no smoking, no dancing. A lot of no's. And finally, I just said out loud there in my living room, I said, if there is a God, will you please let me know? Or no, I said, do you exist? That's right. Do you exist? And I heard this voice in my head say, yes, I do. And it was a wonderful experience. I didn't tumble out of my chair, but it was revelatory. And since that time, I have understood power a little tiny bit. I don't like that concept for some reason, and I need to figure that out. And I have come to accept love as being something that I ascribe to my higher power. I am grateful for this meeting. I am grateful for that experience. I'm grateful for being sponsored and going through the 12 steps. And I hope I can consider and work on the concept of power, the power of God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, perfect timing, Liz S. from Oregon. Thank you. Next, we've got Sid R., followed by Jamie G. Good morning, Sid. And Sid, we need you to hit star 1 to unmute.
Sorry, I didn't realize it got muted again. Anyways, I'm Sid from California, recovered compulsive overeater. And bulimic. I'm so grateful. I love this passage in the big book. I hated the agnostics when I first came into recovery. I hated it because I was agnostic when I came into recovery, probably bordering on atheist, but I didn't want to be that dogmatic. So I just said I was agnostic, but I really didn't believe. And I started out praying. You know, I didn't have the revolutionary spiritual awakening like Bill W. did. I had the garden variety. You know, it was evolutionary. But I started out praying, okay, I don't believe in you, God. I don't believe in this. But if you are there, I really need help. I have to stop binging and purging around the clock. And I didn't binge or purge that day, which was a miracle. But still, I thought, all right, well, I'll believe that you believe. And then I remember really struggling with something with my family and asking God for help. And I was driving to the pharmacy to get some more ulcer medication because I had so much pain in my stomach. And I heard this inner voice say, Sid, you just need to quit your job and stay home with your son. And I was like, what the heck? But the stomach ache went away. And I've had experiences like that all my life, or all my life in recovery. And, you know, and then I leave God. You know, I walk away from God. God doesn't ever leave me, but I walk away from God and I don't have those experiences. And then back in recovery, when I'm really working a program and I'm really leaning into the concept of God, those things continue to happen. I mean, it happened just the other night. I was really struggling. I was having a hard night, not with the food, thank you, God, but just in general. And I just said, God, I just need help. And it was really late at night. And all of a sudden, I got a ding from a WhatsApp chat saying somebody was available to for service. And this is like 11 o'clock at night. And I called and I had the most amazing call with her. And we were both able to do 10 steps. And when I hung up the phone, I felt calm and peaceful. And all I could think was, thank you, God. So I am today convicted that I have a God in my life. I don't understand God at all, but I experience God so often when I lean into God. And I just know that that's my mission right now. My mission in recovery is to continue to lean into God and to continue to be of service to help other people lean into their higher power. So I'm really grateful for this morning. Thank you. This is Sid and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sid R. from California. Next, we've got Janie G., followed by Veronica B. Good morning, Janie.
Good morning, Stephanie and everyone else on the line. Such good shares, and what a great passage in the big book to read this morning. I'm in what they call God's country right now. It's Michigan's Upper Peninsula, the 906 area code, right on the shore of Lake Superior. And I have to say that I am very thankful that I am in contact with God today. And I recognize the various ways that he lets me connect with him and know him. Obviously through nature, so much beauty up here, through prayer and meditation that I've been able to have. And in really being present and listening to others. And I can't do that if I'm in the food. So I'm so thankful for my abstinence that allows a clear channel for me to really drink deep of these beautiful things that God's put in my life today. It's so different than doing the checklist in my program. Yes, I do the dailies, but it's not a fear-based thing. Like if I don't do these things, then God's somehow going to abandon me or, I'm a bad person. I am not a bad person trying to get good. I am a sick person trying to get well. And I'm learning to pause throughout the day and make my plans, but accept God's will. And there's a nice balance there. I made my food plan for the 10 days that we're going to be up here, and I brought my food, and I'm so thankful for that because that really gives me a sense of peace around the food and it not being an issue. And I feel like I'm living in the serenity prayer in that way. I had my plan and we had our plans that we were only going to bring 3 vehicles for the 9 of us. And it turned out we didn't have enough room. So I got to bring mine. And it's funny because that little God whisper, I almost knew ahead of time. And, I got my oil changed and got my car checked out and had the tank full just in case, but didn't force or manipulate that to happen. But because it was needed, I got to bring my own bike, and I'm really glad about that for our trail biking. And I also got the gift of getting to listen to my husband's cousin's Filipino wife's story as we made our trip. And God's gifts don't always come in the packages that I suspect or that I think. I'm so glad that I'm letting go of my will and my way and instead just leaning into what he has for me today. And it brings me such peace and such joy. And I just wanted to share that today. I don't share very often on the meeting. And with that, I'll pass. And I just thank you all.
Thank you so much, Janie G. from Michigan. Glad you shared today. Next, we've got Veronica B. followed by Maria C. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Veronica. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And I'm so grateful today that I know what the solution is for my disease. I really relate to where it says the barriers he had built through the years were swept away. When I started working the steps and I started putting pen to paper, little by little, my old ideas started to get swept away of what I thought my higher power was. And I didn't know that. I got to choose to change my mind. And the number one motivator for me was that I was in so much pain when I came into OA in 09. And I was so desperate that I was willing to do whatever the book had suggested.
I was willing to do it somebody else's way because it was working for them. And I really related. I am in a big book. And so I was willing. I was willing to choose a different concept of my higher power. I thought, you know, I had done things that God was never going to forgive me for. That was all old ideas. And what I did, what I just started to surrender to the book. I started to surrender to this idea that this could work for me. And it started with me sweeping away all the old things and prejudice that I thought God was to me. And with this work, I had a clean slate. Like, the world was my oyster. I was able to choose a God in my understanding that I liked, you know, some qualities that I, you know, like in a friend. And that's what started my journey here. And, you know, I looked up the word consciousness. It says being awake, alert, and able to understand what's happening around you. And that's what the steps have given me. I am awakened. I've had my awakening. I'm awake. Cold stone sober. And that's what happens when, you know, you get abstinent. You're very awake of your surroundings. And for me, I feel God. I invite God in. I keep praying for guidance. I keep praying for and I keep praying for surrender. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next, we have Maria C., followed by Rachel B. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Maria C. in California. I'm so happy to be here live with everybody. Oh, and I agree that this is such a beautiful poetic paragraph. Though I do remember, I found myself, as I listened to everyone shares, trying to put myself in the place of where I was 3.5 years ago when I was reading through this, We Agnostics, and really abstinently looking through it. And when I first read this paragraph and talked about this paragraph, I was scared. I was just fearful, you know. One of the things that kept me from really committing to program for so long was this fear that there was something uniquely wrong with me, and that the solution that everybody was talking about, what if I really tried and it didn't work? And then I was really sunk. And also just reading it and just thinking, I will never have that exact experience that that man is describing. So therefore, you know, there's the spiritual experience appendix that says this not's true. And yet still, when I read through it, my first thought is, I'll never have exactly that. So I'll never have anything. But I found a sponsor that I could be honest with about those fears. I trusted her and followed her directions and took the steps a step at a time. And, you know, as I listened to everyone else's shares, everyone's just been so, you guys are just all so beautiful today. It's such a great morning. But I was just thinking about, like, the nature of time and how relative it is. You know, he's describing that thunderclap, and all of a sudden he's on his knees, and all of a sudden he believes in God and trusts in God completely, not just believes, but trusts that God can take away his addiction. And I was just thinking about how time, you know, the earth is, you know, millions, billions, whatever years old. You know, the Grand Canyon did not just happen with one thunderclap, you know. Maybe it could have, but there's a lot of beautiful, deep, rich, amazing things where, you know, to us, maybe it seems like it took a long time. But in the grand scheme of the universe, it is brilliant and quick and marvelous. And, you know, I have that garden variety spiritual experience. And, you know, I found myself thinking, oh, wow, it took forever compared to this guy. But still, in 6 months, I was living recovered. And depending on how you measure time, that's so fast. And it's a miracle. Thank you, guys. I pass.
Thank you so much, Maria C. in California. And next we've got Rachel B. And after Rachel, we're going to get another list of names. So get ready. Oh, good morning, Rachel.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Great to be on this call. Yeah, what a beautiful paragraph. I was 18 when I was first exposed to program, and I wasn't raised in religion, and so I really didn't have that as a point of reference. But I was open to the program because I needed to save my life. And there was one moment at this time when I was about to just throw it all away and just take off and go to die. And something happened, and I dropped to my knees, and I just started to say all the things I loved. For some reason, I remember butterflies. That was the first thing out of my mouth. But I just started to list and list and list all of the love that was inside of me, that who I was as a being. And it suddenly recurred to me, why would I want to harm myself? Why would I do this if I had all this love in me? And since that time, like I'm still not like formally religious. The program for decades now has been like my religion, but it was such a profound experience that every time I think about it, I go back to that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I was touched. My life changed. And someone told me early on that, you know, if you don't come from formal religion, or whether you do or not, but that a good way to think about it was good orderly direction. And that's been my guiding force for several decades now. And you know, it's a different way of doing this program. I'm a teacher right now. We started a couple days ago back at school. And when you go back to school and people haven't seen you for a few months, and they're commenting, oh, you look good, because I've been absent since December 14th. So I'm changing. I'm having physical recovery. But there's someone else there who, during COVID, he lost a lot of weight. We all came back, and he was a different man. It was like, woo, we're all happy for him and everything. But he's starting to gain it back. And I pray for him, because at the teacher's lounge, you know, all the stuff, all the foods and all the things. And for me, I don't pick up, because I know that one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. So I don't go for any of it. And I see him like going twice into line. I see him with a plate of food in his hand. I see him and my heart goes out to him. And I just want to say that prayer for him right now, because I know, and I'm
Rachel,
so glad to have this way. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel B. in California. And before we get to the next lineup, let me remind you all where we are. We are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 56. We read the fourth paragraph, beginning with, this man recounts that he tumbled out of bed, ending with conscious companionship with his creator. We read that one paragraph, and that is what we're sharing about today. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Nancy L.J., California.
Virginia. L.J. I just heard Virginia. Didn't hear the name.
Kristen R.
Kristen R. Gotcha. Who else would like to share?
Mary Frances W., Pennsylvania.
Regina V., California.
Got you, Mary Frances W. And was that from Pennsylvania? Mary Frances?
Yes.
Okay.
Pennsylvania.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Got ya. And there was
Sandy K., Florida.
Was that Sandy K.?
Yes, Florida.
Got you, Sandy.
Regina V.
Was that a V as in Victor, Regina?
Yes, from California.
California. And I think that might take us to the end, so we'll stop there. I've got Nancy LJ, Kristen R, Mary Frances W, Sandy K, and Regina V. We're going to go ahead and start with Nancy LJ, followed by Christina R. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Nancy LJ in California. I'm just so grateful to be recovered, and what a beautiful meeting. Thank you, everybody, for your shares. And I just, you know, gosh, guys, anybody on this meeting that's new or returning, or I can't get this program, or what kind of contact, what with God, what I act like this, I do that, these feelings are coming up. You know what, guys, just keep coming back. That's what I do. I just keep praying. And this weekend I went, or is it the weekend? No, it's not. It's the weekend's coming up. These last few days I had flown to another state to visit my sister who's in memory care, Alzheimer's. And I was so frightened. There's so many things. I won't go into all of it. You can only imagine. You know, I've been single for years, and just even traveling by myself as I'm aging has become anxiety producing. It just has. It just does. Whatever. It doesn't matter why. It just does. But what I want to share is as challenged as I am in this program, and, you know, I feelings would pop up and I would just pray, you know, feelings of, I wanted, sitting with my sister, holding her hand, I wanted to go into self-pity. But right away, God's like, come on now, you got this. And I would say the seventh step prayer. And then I would just squeeze her hand and give her a smile, you know, and loneliness would pop up. Anger with resentment pop up with my niece, her daughter. You know, it kept trying. Those feelings are there. But you know what? That channel, that I live in the conscious companionship with my creator. And it is so beautiful. And as imperfect as my program is, I've got that conscious contact. And he's got me. And I'm super grateful. Keep coming back. Keep reading these paragraphs, keep doing the steps, making outreach calls. It all works. I'm telling you. Here from California, Nancy LJ, and I'll pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Nancy LJ from California. Next, you've got Kristen R, followed by Mary Frances W. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. My name is Kristen. I'm a recovered. No, I'm not recovered. What am I saying?
Kristen, we can't hear you. You sound very, very quiet. Kristen? Kristen, we can't. I don't think she can hear me. Kristen? We can't hear you, Kristen. So sorry, guys.
Hey, Stephanie, why don't we just mute her real quick and then move on?
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, we'll try and come back to Kristen. We're going to go to Mary Frances W, followed by Sandy K. Hey, Mary Frances.
Good morning, Stephanie, and good morning to everybody on the line. It's such a privilege to be with all of you, and I'm just so grateful that I've been with you every day since last November, and it's just been such a powerful experience. And I was thinking back when reading this that I had my first experience in the program when I gave myself permission to challenge my old beliefs about God and name my own concept of God. And when I did that and I realized that that's who God is, and of course, so much more than that, I had this peace come over me that I had never experienced in my life, because I was always so afraid of God, that he was, you know, out to get me, looking at everything I did wrong and putting a black mark by my name. All that negative stuff that I believed about him. And here he is, my creator, who adores me. And all he wants is for me to invite him into my life, have him be a part of my life, rely on him instead of the food or any other material thing that I might be addicted to, and trust, which is a big deal. This is a God that I can trust, that even when things are difficult or tragic or hard, that he's there with me, and I can face it. I can face whatever it is and know that he's there. And when I do, like, I've found myself getting more into media because I don't want to break my food abstinence, I recognize its problem. I was not able to see that before, and so now I have a program for that. And I'm just so grateful today for this vision meeting. It's saved my life, it truly has. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. Next, we've got Sandy K., followed by Regina V. Good morning, Sandy.
Hi, this is Sandy K., compulsive overeater from Florida, and I want to thank everyone for their service, especially the moderator. I love hearing your cheery voice this morning. I want to talk about the constant companionship that's mentioned the end of that paragraph, conscious companionship with his creator. I came into program solidly agnostic, and I knew in step two that I was going to have to find a power greater than myself, and I explored different avenues, and I guess for the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years, I have the same higher powers. I do the same higher power. And I always had that garden variety. However, about, I don't know how many years ago, 7 years ago, I had a spiritual experience. I didn't fall off my chair, but I was so stunned that I sat at my dining room table for about an hour or two before I could even move. And I didn't make any phone calls that day. I was just in awe and shock, I guess. The reason I'm telling you this is every once in a while since then, I forget about my companion, my higher power. And it's, for me, it's only step three that will bring me back. As soon as I can really say step three and mean it, turning over everything to my higher power, I am I okay? And it usually has to do with fear. So I can do a step 10, I could do a lot of things, but it's normally sitting down, getting that conscious contact back, and then turning it over. So I'm definitely not perfect, but I do walk hand in hand, and occasionally I will let go of my higher power's hand, but his hand is still there for me to reach out and take. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy K. from Florida. Next, we have Regina V. Good morning, Regina.
Hi, good morning. My name is Regina V., compulsive overeater and sugar addict. Grateful to be at this meeting, and thank you for being of service. I had an experience when I was like around 30. Now I'm almost 60, so about 30 years ago, where I was very addicted to crack cocaine. And I remember being so desperate, and I was wanting to, you know, get out of that addiction, but I wasn't able to. And I remember one day just, I literally said these words, God, if you exist, help me. And all of a sudden I saw an image of a baby pass by my brain or my mind. And 2 months later I was pregnant. And I truly believe that was like God answering my prayers. Like, yes, I'll help you. Because as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I think I did hit the pipe maybe one more time while I was, you know, and I knew I was pregnant. And I've never really shared this. But then after that, like, I just never touched, you know, that drug again, ever. And I stopped smoking cigarettes just like that. And I remember thinking, I need to breastfeed because I don't want to go back to using drugs. And I did, you know. And I did go into a drug, you know, NA for 3 years, and then I left. And, you know, the crazy came back and all of that. But I'm forever grateful that I didn't continue doing drugs. Now that I'm in OA, you know, I finally feel like I surrendered on Sunday with my new sponsor. And I have never been so, I guess you could say, desperate in my life. Like, I am so willing to go to any length. And one of the requirements is that I pray and meditate every morning for 30 minutes. And it's something that I've been wanting to do for 3 years because I used to do it before. And it served me well. And I was connected to my higher power. And so, you know, this reading about he stood in the presence of infinite power and love, I thirst for that. And the conscious companionship with his creator, I thirst for that too. And, you know, I feel like, okay, this is the road. If I'm willing to do what I need to do, what the big book says, I will have that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Regina V. from California. And I know that we weren't able to hear Kristen R. And Kristen, if you're still on the line, we have a minute if you'd like to take that minute. I wanted to open it up and see if you're still here because there were technical difficulties and we weren't able to hear you. Is Kristen R. still on the line? I'll give it a second. Okay. Well, actually, my clock just turned, and it is 7. It is great. So we are out of time. So we're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Shelley E., can you please read a vision for you?
Shelly? Oh, not Shelly.
I'm so sorry. I was taken off guard.
No.
Yes, I'm so sorry, guys. I meant to say Shelly E.
I did.
Okay.
It's all right. Mary Frances.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I was like, all right.
Okay. I got it. I'm Mary Frances W., recovered compulsive reader in Pennsylvania, and here is page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you,